Dr. Westbrook.
Dr. Baffa.
Welcome, all of our listeners, to the third episode of the Two Doctors podcast. And Dr. Westbrook, it is an absolute pleasure once again to be here with you in the virtual sense.
It is. And this is the third episode, and they only get more exciting as they go.
They are. We keep having a full plate of things to talk about. We're going to try to maintain some time limit here, but we make no promises.
Absolutely. Time is not something we pay very close attention to.
Lifters, horrible.
Yes. Yeah. And generally, the more time, the better, especially when you're talking about time between lifts.
Exactly. I still wish we had the 3-minute rule in between lifts.
I disagree with that. Meets are long enough as it is.
don't you? Okay. How about 2 minutes during the snatch, 3 during the clean and jerk?
You mean if you follow yourself or just
following
in general?
Following yourself. Oh, yeah. Okay. Following yourself. No, not with the. Oh my God, no! Not if you're going after somebody else.
Yeah, that would be too much. I would do 2.5 between clean and jerks, following
two
yourself.
And a half.
You know, because you get these guys who go in there, they're the last lifter in the meet, and you're following yourself, and you end up making these, like, you know, 17 changes, even though that's against the rules. Somehow you slip one of the loaders a bill, so they take their time. It ends up being like 10 minutes.
Joe Elkins is asleep in the chair.
Exactly.
Nobody's noticing.
Exactly. So it ends up being 10 minutes between those first and second or second and third attempts. So, you know, and obviously you want to get good rest so you can get this big lift in at the end of the meet. But at the same time, it's like, all right, let's get this done.
Well, but maybe if you had 3 minutes, you would get less of that playing around. And I don't know this for a fact. You and I weren't lifting in the 3-minute era, but I wonder if there was less fudging with the clock. Well, there had to be less fudging in some capacity because you had smaller or you had fewer weight change increments. You didn't have this 1 kilo rule that was 2.5. So maybe it was different. But
so you're a fan of removing the weightlifting loopholes?
I take a long time to gather my strength. For what little lifting I can still do, I need all the time I can get.
Absolutely. You truly need more as you get older. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and especially in the clean and jerk, which is probably why it's a good thing I'm not lifting competitively anymore.
Yes.
It's a good thing for a lot of reasons, we should say.
Absolutely.
We should thank our listeners and our subscribers and maybe notify them of the big news, which is we are on the iTunes podcast directory or whatever it is.
We are. I mean, we are part of the Apple sort of universe or world that's slowly
– evil empire.
Yeah, it's slowly taking over all of our lives. Speaking of which – since the new iPhone has been released, well, not released, but talked about, my phone is functioning at the poorest rate it's ever functioned before, and it's definitely related. They're trying to get me to get the next iPhone. There's no doubt.
They have their hands in everything. They know. I mean, listen, Yosemite, the OS system update.
Yes,
that was basically just a reason to force people to buy new computers.
It's absolutely true.
Yosemite was nothing more than, hey, you should buy a new computer. That thing is the most bloated OS I've ever encountered.
I think they purposely make it so that there's background software that's cranking along, so these slower computers just can't keep up.
Mine is just running Pi to infinity. I don't know why it's doing it. I think they're just, it's basically, time to buy a new computer is what they should have called that operating system.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, again, so on tonight's agenda, we have, to give a little taste of what's to come in the alleged 40 minutes or so that we have given ourselves, the Chinese IWF Grand Prix being held in Fuzhou. I am sure I'm butchering that.
That sounds good.
We have an announcement on the hook grip Spartakiad.
Yes, big announcement, really.
Big announcement. We will talk about the fact that we know nothing about the European Under-23 Championship.
Nor the Youth Pan Americans.
Nor the Youth Pan Americans. So we more or less just covered those, but we'll probably come back to that.
We'll come back a little bit, yeah.
And a power clean by an individual shared with us over Twitter, a serious power clean.
Yes.
And maybe some movie recs at the very end.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got
quite a bit on our plate. Should we start off with the Chinese Grand Prix?
Yes, but I will say, I mean, this is an awful lot for our agenda. Usually our agenda items are about one or two bullet points. So the fact that we have five or six, this could be anywhere from 80 to 250 minutes long.
Brew some coffee is what Dr. Westbrook is saying. Hunker down. Tell the boss you're stricken with a cold or something because you're not going anywhere.
You're in it for the long run here.
Yeah, better or worse. So the Grand Prix.
Yes.
Grand Prix. For those of you who don't know, this is an IWF meet. It counts as an international meet for people who need individual qualification events in the year leading up to the Olympics. You need two international events if you want to be eligible for Rio in the 2 years leading up to the Olympics.
Yep.
The only body weight categories contested are the men's 56 through 85 and the women's 48 through 69. And there's quite a bit of prize money on the line. Have you seen this?
I did see that. And it is interesting that this Grand Prix only takes the bottom five weight classes of both the male and female lifted. Do you know why they separate that? Because is it the IWF Grand Prix in Russia that does the other weight classes? Is that
they
how that works?
They do the heavier weight classes.
I see. Yeah. Okay,
so
that makes sense.
94s and up, and the women's, I guess, 75 and up. 75. I don't know if there's overlap with 85s and 69s, but I don't believe so.
Okay.
But yeah, prize money here. So first is $8,000, second is $5,000, and third is $3,000. And you can also get up to $4,000 for senior world records.
That's
in
right.
Snatch, clean and jerk, and then double that in the total.
And these records would count, as world records since it's an official world meet.
Exactly. So we might see some big lifts. Now, the issue, we know the U.S. team that's going.
Yes, and that's about it.
We know where it is, Fuzhou, however you say that. We know that that's in China.
Mm-hmm. And outside of that, very little.
Pretty much it. So the U.S. team consists of the athletes who are invited by China include Morgan King, lifting as a 53.
Great lifter.
Great
obviously.
Lifter. Mm-hmm. Jerilee Vega, lifting as a 63. Great lifter. Have not seen great performances recently.
Yeah, although I will say I have seen her training, I believe, at the OTC and a little bit more aggressive in her training and the way her lifts are looking.
Is this recently?
I think so. I mean, these are posts within probably the past two or three weeks that I've seen. And it looks
Westbrook,
like she's.
Do tell. What are you? I have not seen these.
Well, I mean, they're in the same vicinity of the weights that she was attempting at the Nationals not too long ago. But she was making them fairly smoothly. So the hope is that she'll be able to add 5 or 10 kilos onto each lift in comparison to her results at the U.S. Nationals.
So but, we know she's capable of. I mean, she's done, 100, 125, correct?
Yeah, right. I believe that 100 snatches her American record, if I'm not mistaken.
Think you are right. So we know she's capable of a lot, and I would love to. I mean, I really enjoy watching her lift when she is in top form.
Absolutely.
Beautiful technician, very strong, very confident. And so I really hope she is training and is in shape.
Me too.
On the men's side, we have Derek Johnson as a 62, Darren Barnes as a 56. And that is it for the invites, specific invites to China.
Okay.
But China invited the U.S. to send other athletes based on weight class. So you have Anthony Pomponio in the 85s, along with John McGovern, also in the 85s.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony.
James Tatum.
I didn't realize James Tatum was going also.
Tatum and Leo Hernandez, both going as 77s.
Wow. And did you mention Alex Lee as a 69?
Alex Lee is not going.
He's not
Sean
going.
Sean Hutchinson is going as a 62. And that's it for the men. The women, Courtney Batchelor is a 58. Mary Peck is a 63. And in the 69s, Ariel Stevens.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, yeah, a number of lifters.
Yeah, that was more than I had thought. And I dig deep to try to find names, and I was unsuccessful.
Well, you had to – and this is – nobody ever wants to do this, but you had to go to the USAW website.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. And I'm ashamed to admit it. It took a long time. I dug my way through. I had to pull up an old browser. I signed in through AOL and and somehow made my way through the labyrinth that is their, you know, HTML 1997 site. And I found, you know, they have this press release there.
Well, see, now I'm on Alex Lee's Facebook page. And it says, this was posted Monday, this you know, past Monday, so just 3 days ago. It says, about ready for the final world qualifier next weekend. So what other meet could he be talking about?
Universities, maybe.
Oh, that's what it is. Yes, that's correct, Dr. Baffa. Why am I forgetting
that? That's my guess. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going off the USA Weightlifting website press release. That whether that has a bearing in reality is entirely open to question.
Absolutely, absolutely. Decisions are usually made long after they're put in writing. So,
exactly.
What's on there is just a recommendation and not fact by any standard.
At the very least, these are no longer being written by Artie, which means they're condensed to a few paragraphs as opposed to the Moby Dick-like screeds that we were treated to for a while.
Now, with this meet, with this China Grand Prix, are there any lifters who could potentially change their placement for the 2015 Worlds in Houston coming up soon? Because this is also a qualifier where you can, you know, move your spot around or even make the team if you're not on the team for the Worlds this year.
So I think that is the hope of some lifters. Yeah. That said,
because I would assume James Tatum has got to be eyeing a spot because I haven't looked at the latest update, but I don't think he is one of those top athletes right now who's locked.
No, he is not locked. There are only a couple slots, and there is only 177 locked right now. That's Travis Cooper. So
that's
Tatum
right.
And Leo, as far as I'm aware, could be fighting for that spot.
Right.
Now, there are two 94s locked in, but that doesn't matter in this competition because there are no 94s in the China Grand Prix.
Right.
And there is 162. So, in theory, although Derek Johnson is already locked.
He is locked. Oh, wow. Okay.
Derek Johnson is locked. And so, he is he's going to get an international meet, and that will be one of his required two to participate in Rio, essentially.
I see. So the four locked athletes, it's got to be Kane Wilkes. Is it Jared?
We have six locked athletes.
Oh, there's six locked. Okay, that's right.
For the men, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's got to be Kane, Jared, Jared Fleming.
Yep.
And then the other 94, which is Kendrick Ferris, I believe.
Correct.
Then we have Travis Cooper, who you just mentioned, Derek Johnson, and then who's that last one that I'm forgetting?
Donovan Ford,
the 105, of course, yes.
Yeah. In the women, it's Morgan King as a 48, Holly Mangold as a 75+, Jenny Arthur as a 75, Kathleen Winters as a 48, and Maddie Rogers going as a 75.
75, that's interesting because, I mean, she's pretty lean as it is, as a 69. You know, so I don't know if she'll be able to fill out 6 kilos or more between the, you know, now and then, but you never know.
Well, going as a 70, if she were to go as a 69, she would not be a lock.
Right. Because there's the two spots have already been filled. Is that right?
No, it's because her total would not get her. I don't think as a 69, her total would be as good as the one.
As a 70.
Her placement would be guaranteed as a 77.
Okay.
Or 75, rather.
A 75. Right.
So. Yeah, as a 75, she is locked on. So there are spots up for grab, and this is an event where you can qualify, I believe.
Right.
We also have the national universities and the youth Pan Am. So we have three events coming up.
Yeah, and all these three events are all qualifiers for the 2015 World Championships in Houston. So, you know, I think the only person who we're sort of eyeing for the men's team in the Youth Pan Ams would be, of course, CJ Cummings.
CJ Cummings, the one and only.
The one and only. And, you know, obviously in the other two meets, we're going to be looking at other people. And as we mentioned earlier, I think Alex Lee will be lifting at that University Games, which, you know, he's got to be very, very close. I mean, if he hits anywhere near that 175 and above, you know, 130, 135, I mean, you have to assume that he'll get one of those last few spots left.
You know, I don't know. I don't have the numbers before me. But right. The issue is those 69, I mean, because it goes on projected placement, that right. is a competitive class.
It's a
class.
Very competitive class, yeah.
What I think, and this is just guessing, but I think we might be more likely to see maybe somebody like Garcia.
Yeah.
Or another 77 get on. I mean, if Leo Hernandez puts together a really solid snatch and clean and jerk, we know he's a guy mm-hmm. capable of like a 330-ish or so. Total, yeah, 325 to 330-ish total.
Yeah, if he did 150, 180, I mean, you have to assume that that would be enough to get him on the team.
Yeah, so we'll see. That said, it would be exciting to see somebody like CJ Cummings in the 69s getting onto the team, because
yes.
he'd be then among the youngest ever to go to a world championships.
And you have to be a minimum age of 15 to even compete at the world championships. So he just meets that requirement.
Yep. We should also note that Tatum is right now the provisional teammate, I believe, on the world team.
Okay. So he's the alternate right now.
I believe so, okay. Or at least he's down on the ranking list. So it will be interesting. I mean, again, in a few weeks, we will know
definitively
for certain
yeah.
what the team is going to look like.
And he, you know, when I look at his posts, his videos, training videos, I mean, it seems like at any given day, he can snatch 140 or more.
Tatum.
Yeah.
Tatum, that snatch is so strong.
It's so strong. I mean,
Dr. Westbrook, you competed against him.
Very, very early on. Yes, indeed, I did. And
did you beat him?
I did not beat him. I That's beat okay. him in the clean and jerk. I didn't.
And in our hearts.
Yes.
That's where
now,
it counts.
The first meet that I saw him, I believe his attempts were 115. This
snatch.
Is in the snatch, yeah. 115, 125, and then 137. Yeah. And
did he make that 137?
He made that 137 in the most, you know, chaotic way I've ever seen.
I think you showed me video.
Yeah, I have a video dug deep somewhere of that lift, and it's just
You've
impressive.
You've got to post that. Yeah. That needs to be on the website. Because I bet James Tatum doesn't even have video of that.
He may not. So, but
he doesn't want that thing being leaked.
Interestingly enough, so he finished with 137, and I believe he opened in the clean and jerk with 135. So actually 2 kilos less than he finished in his snatch. And it's interesting to see that. I mean, it's still – obviously it's not that extreme, but he still really has – quite a special quality in the yeah. snatch in comparison to his clean and jerk. Although we have seen him do weights in the 180-ish range before. So it's exactly what's holding him back from doing those or getting to that again, it's hard to say. But he's made some technique adjustments. I believe he's doing more of a power jerk now versus the traditional split jerk.
Yep.
So, you know, whether or not he's just going to need more time to really lock that in, it's hard to say. But, you know, he's a guy yeah. who's going to fight for every single weight that's put on the bar.
Yeah. And it's important, too, to note that this was – so when you – I remember you telling me about James Tatum, and obviously I didn't know who the hell he was at the time. He was nobody on USAW's radar at the
That's
time.
That's right. Yep.
This was only – 3 years ago, 4 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, this
right?
is when you were in Orno, Maine.
I was in Orno, Maine, yes. Banished to the snowy north. And that's not that long ago.
No,
I mean,
it isn't.
I think, you know, for some perspective, it's helpful to remember that yeah, this was back in 2011. And in that time, he's gone from being somebody who, I mean, that was an early meet for him, right? Like, he had not been.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was his first meet, but it was definitely one of his early meets. And, you know, he wasn't coached by anyone. I think he was lifting out of a barn at that time. So very early on. But I mean, even in that initial confrontation, I mean, you can just see the strength within this guy. So, you know, I could see that there was some significant potential there.
You know, it's and we obviously don't know what's going to happen, and all sorts of developments take place over the course of an athlete's career. But when I think of him, I think of somebody like Morgan King as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really still in the early stages of their weightlifting careers, and it's exciting to think about. I mean, if I hope that they stay healthy and keep training and everything, but like, consider Morgan King or James Tatum or one of these individuals 10 years in, I think.
I know.
There's no reason to assume they can't keep improving.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not the traditional path of a weightlifter, right? Starting young and then peaking in the early 20s, but they seem to be proving that there are other alternatives.
Absolutely. And one thing, especially with James, and obviously this, again, the snatch is his sort of specialized lift, but he does truly improve almost every 6 months when we see him between the American Open and the Nationals. I mean, sometimes it's only by a kilo or so. And even if he's missing,
that's huge though.
Yeah. Right.
That level.
At that level, when you're talking about 150 kilos or more in the snatch as a 77, I mean, that's an international lift.
Yeah.
So, you know, even when we saw him attempt that national record at 158 at Nationals, you know, I think it was Jim Schmitz said it wasn't even close, but to be honest, I thought it was very close. I mean, he had it at length.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was bad either. I mean, I wouldn't have gone that heavy personally, but, you know, we can sit here and bicker about that. But, you know.
Well, no, me neither. I mean, especially because I've never cleaned that. So
right.
I certainly wouldn't have gone that heavy.
But
maybe just to put it on the bar and say I attempted a record once.
Right. But the bottom line is, I mean, he does continue to improve on that. And if he can kind of, you know, translate that to continued improvement in the clean and jerk also. You know, there's no reason that, you know, 5-10 kilos on each lift can't happen within, you know, a year or two.
Yeah.
No reason at all. And then you're near that A session lifting, not quite A session, but very, very close to it. And at the Worlds, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, at the international level in the 77s, I mean, there's that top level with the top Chinese guys who are doing, let's say, 65 plus.
Right. Yeah. Opening with between 60 and 65,
which is a different story altogether.
Yeah.
But past that, so in the 77s, at the Asian Championships, Aidar Kazov from Kazakhstan, do you recall what he I don't think he snatched much more than 150.
There was a drop off. There's no doubt about that. Like, after that first sort of group of really, really talented lifters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, not to say anything else about our other 77 lifters, because they could all be the same too. Leo Hernandez, Travis Cooper.
Oh yeah, they're right on that edge.
Right,
definitely.
And the fact that we have multiple lifters in that same weight class who are all striving for that extra 1 or 2 kilos every meet. I mean, that's the kind of atmosphere that you want at these national meets, to get these lifters to improve, and then, you know, show up at the international stage and really do something special.
Yeah, I mean, here it's exciting that we will have at the Grand Prix, which I hope at some point there is more information. I mean, we don't have a start list. We don't have we have nothing. We know it's in China. We know the U.S. team, but we have Tatum going against Hernandez. And so,
like
you said, I think you have the potential for a nice matchup there.
Yeah.
To say nothing of who else in the 77s will be there pushing them as well.
Right. I mean, and Leo, you know, he has a bad taste in his mouth after bombing out at the Nationals. I mean,
I would hope so.
Yes. I mean, he was geared up, really geared up. I mean, maybe that's why. I mean, maybe the nerves got to him a little bit, because he was so geared up to be in, you know, finally be in the U.S. Nationals competing for a top spot. So I think he's really going to come out with some vengeance to try to do the, you know, post the most he can.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. And again, hopefully at some point we'll have something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, should we move on? I mean, unless there are other athletes that we should cover for the, Grand Prix. Should we move on to the Spartakia?
Let's move on.
And the big news.
Absolutely. The big news of the Hook Grip sponsored Spartakiad, which is happening the first weekend of October in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Glorious Philadelphia, city of brotherly love.
That's exactly right. Dr. Baffa and myself will be commentating. Yes, you heard it. Here, we'll be commentating the...
Sit down, compose yourself
yes.
for this news. You might want to pause whatever you're playing this on, your MP3 player or Discman, whatever it is.
The two doctors will be commentating the Hook Grip Spartakiad. And very. Not just for one or two sessions, likely almost every session.
Matt Arum is chaining us to the announcing table. Mm-hmm. He said every so often he will toss a Cliff Bar over our way and a bottle of water, and we are there.
Yes, and maybe some Hook Grip straps.
Maybe some Hook Grip straps, something just maybe some knee straps or something.
Hold on to the microphone.
No, we're not going to turn anything down. I'm not. Say no to free stuff.
But that's going to be an exciting meet because we have some of our favorite lifters lifting in that meet. First off, which of course we have to talk about CJ Cummings. he is now registered for the Hook Grip Spartakiad.
He is registered for the Spartakiad, and he is lifting on Saturday?
Yep, he's lifting the last session. Saturday. Yep, which I believe is at. Again, this is tentative right now, but I believe it will be a lift at 5. So, you know how that works.
It's weigh in at 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
You're
lift
right.
From 7 to 9 p.m. per this schedule, at least. And we'll, like you said, we'll see how that goes. There are 6 sessions that day.
Yes, 6 sessions.
Did we really agree to do this?
Yeah, this...
first session is at 9 a.m.
Yeah, we're going to need a few Hook Grip shirts, I think.
We're going to need like a lozenge or something for
yes.
our throats. This
perhaps,
is going to be a
perhaps a Hook Grip sleeping bag, maybe into
a Hook Grip throat lozenge or something.
But also, in addition to CJ Cummings, we have, in this same session at the end, this is sort of the highlight men's session on Saturday as the last session. Then Sunday, the last session, is sort of the highlight women's session. So in the men's session, a few other big names. We have Jared Fleming, the now 94-kilo snatch American record holder at 170. And then we also have Norik Vardanian, who really is capable of some big weights. Disappointed with his performance at the Nationals, but I'm sure is ready for some redemption at this meet.
Yeah, and we also have Brody Santavi, who is an 85 lifter and Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah. And he's got a posted total of 320 kilos, so 145, 175 snatch and clean and jerk. So, yeah, that's very respectable in 85.
And then Frank Murray.
Frank Murray, yes,
Frank
indeed.
Murray, the one and only. Thank God. And then the list. I mean, there are some other, good totals here. Everybody in this session is doing the solid weights, which is exciting. So that is that should be an impressive session.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and then
and if you go to the women on Sunday. Let's see, session 5, which starts that session 5 on Sunday.
That one starts at 5, supposedly, as it stands
now. Yeah, exactly. Listed at 5 p.m.
Yeah, and one of my favorite female lifters, American female lifters, Jenny Arthur, 75 kilo female lifter, will be lifting in that session, which is very exciting. She's got a 225 total posted for that meet right now.
I am looking forward to that. I recall seeing her. It was at the 2012 American Open, I believe, where she broke the American clean and jerk record in the 69s. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she continues to improve the technique. I know she's been out for a little while with some injury, I think. But yeah, a really tremendous lifter and probably one of my favorite American lifters to watch because she is strong and she does have really nice technique. But yeah, very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing her do like a 140 or a 145 clean and jerk at some point in her career as a 75.
That would be impressive. I mean, she's listed at 130. I mean, again, I don't think these are starting totals. I think these are sort of, in the vicinity of where they think they're going to finish. But regardless, I mean, if you're at 130, I mean, 140 isn't that far, especially when you're talking about the percentage wise.
Yeah. So who else is in this session? A number of these names I'm unfamiliar with. I will say Erica Dice is lifting, who is a lifter. Yeah, who
she's
is
a
coming
Canadian,
up with,
right?
No, Erica Dice is from New York. She's a New York girl.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah, so she was somebody who was coming up when I was coming up as well. She was a national level lifter, and so it's just a blast from the past for me. But that will be exciting. And then there are a few other international caliber lifters in that session, I believe. I mean, there's a 69 who's snatching 90 and 115, jerking 115, another doing about 90 and 110. So all good numbers. And there's a lot of money on the line.
Yes, a ton of money. Yeah, and that's one of the big features of this meet is that there's pretty good payout. Is it a guaranteed 7,000 or something like that for women and another 7 for men or something around that vicinity? And do you remember the specifics about that?
Like don't
guaranteed 7,000 worth of prize money, and supposedly there could be more if these totals that Hook Grips made up are basically surpassed. I think you get a guaranteed amount or something like that. Again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's incentive for the lifters. That's the bottom line.
Are we eligible for any sort of payout? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, we're sort of doing the complete opposite of weightlifting, which is one fast, slow movement. We'll be just talking for hours and hours.
Exactly. The lifters, 6 minutes on the platform. Time is done. Us, 6 2-hour sessions on day one, and then 5 2-hour sessions on day two, and then somebody will pour us on a plane for us to head back to our respective cold areas.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's only 2 weeks away now? Is that right? Or is it 3 weeks?
It's soon. Like you said, it's that first week in October. It's obviously not next weekend, which I think is the universities. But yeah, it's soon. It might just be 2 weeks away or something.
Yes.
I
mean, so get excited.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be cool to see. We saw the medals actually at Nationals. We saw that Nat had some medals carrying around, and they're substantial medals.
Oh yes, if you need to drown someone in a river, you tie one of these.
Toss one of these over her head. Yeah,
absolutely. Tie it to their feet and ankles and throw them off the boat, and they will sink.
And they're attractive enough that the person might not notice that.
Yes, absolutely. Be sort of highlighted by this beauty of gold shining in their eyes.
Not bad. Maybe we'll get a medal. Maybe Nat will give us a medal. Maybe David Look will give us a medal. He's the Hook Grip.
Yes, I think we
behind
can.
The scene, one of the behind the scenes individuals.
I think we can negotiate that.
Let's see. Announcer medal. We'll get on that. it'll be fun though, to see how they run it. I really the Arnold. We've been to the Arnold for years, and I like the way that they do things because you know you don't have certain constraints that you have when you're a national meet,
right?
And so it's cool now to see people doing creative things with local meet sanctions.
Yeah,
the regional thing has not taken off in the way that I hope it takes off eventually.
Yeah,
and so some of the bigger local meets because they're still local sanctions. Mm-hmm. Are filling that void, I think, and filling it nicely. I know that out in Cali, they have like is it the Pacific Weightlifting Association, the one that Kevin Doherty is associated with.
They do a
nice local meet, but it pulls in good talent like the Arnold.
Yeah, you know, early on in my lifting career, you know, the Empire State Games were always a really big meet.
Yep, Dr. Westbrook, there was a time to believe my coach. There was a time when the Empires were better than winning the Olympics.
pretty much. I mean, if you look at the Empire State Games records, some of them are close to the world records.
consider that one of the winners, an Empire State Game champion, Antonio Krastev.
Yeah, Antonio Krastev.
The man
right.
who has the heaviest snatch of all time in official competition, international competition. Is also an Empire State Games champion.
Yes, he is. We share that title.
you and him share. You don't share much. You couldn't share pants or anything like that.
No, but, no. Maybe I could fit in one leg at best.
Yeah,
but.
No. Wouldn't want to share a bathroom with him or a tub. No. But yeah, you guys share that distinction, dubious distinction. And you know, and Mike Graber, you share it with as well.
Of course, of course. But what I was getting to, I was really hoping that the state games idea would sort of pick up, because a few years into doing the Empire State Games, there was like a countrywide state games competition. So if you placed at a certain level in your own state games, you'd then go to the next level, whether it was a regional or maybe it was even a national meet at that point. And it was just kind of a cool idea. And I don't know, even know that weightlifting was a part of that during that brief period. But that sort of idea where you have that sort of tiered system that just, you know, sort of increases in quality and just gives each level something to really aim for. I mean, that, I think that's what's really needed in this country in terms of really getting that grassroots early sort of, you know, beginning lifters to try to have something to shoot for, rather than just having these sort of, you know, I've got the national totals and the American Open totals, and that's kind of all we keep our eye on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're highlighting one of the issues that the organization might be facing right now, which is when we were coming up, there were far fewer national level lifters.
Yep.
And so the national totals could be where they are now. And if you hit them, you know, you were guaranteed to be among the, let's say, 8 to 15 or so people lifting. Now there's so many more people lifting, and they understandably have to raise the totals, which is great.
Great.
National,
yeah,
should be something to work for, and it should be a select group of individuals. American Open, a little bit less so, right? It's sort of a stepping stone.
That's right.
But yeah, you need, you know, one of the hardest things about being a good lifter is when you're not at that national level and you're just going to local meets, not being pushed. And it's not, you know, anyone who's a competitor is not having fun going to a local meet, being the last guy lifting, and being around people who are beginners. And that's great. That's great that they're lifting, but yeah, there should be an intermediate step.
Yes, that's exactly what's needed to encourage, you know, to make those goals for lifters to sort of move up that tiered system.
Yeah, I really like, and maybe this is a too quaint of an idea for now, but I think there used to be a classification system where, like, if you hit a certain total, you got recognized somehow. And that might be based on the way the Russians do it, I think. But that might be another way to signify, like,
yeah,
right, this is somebody who is – you're not a local lifter. Because really, at this point, you're either stuck in this local pool, which could be somebody who's just a CrossFit athlete doing his first meet for fun in sneakers and shorts, up to people who are – really good lifters, but are not quite at that national level yet.
Right. I think I remember, I think it was Matt Foreman who posted something. I could be wrong about this, but I think it was him who posted.
You said it here. It's true now.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, like a chart that sort of had, you know, a distinguishing feature. And it didn't just include the Olympic lifts. It also included, like, the back squat and front squat, and went through a sort of tiered system of, okay, this is an amateur lifter. This is someone who's, you know, should be considered subnational, national, and then, you know, at different degrees of international, you know, and all the way up and down. So you could sort of place yourself very quickly and easily based upon those lifts. And that was kind of cool. And to sort of extrapolate that out into, you know, an actual league or actual system with competitions and everything would be really quite cool.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. Speaking of leagues, shall we hop over to our next topic, which was suggested to us on Twitter, and talk about Grid League competitor,
yes,
James Townsend, with his 193 kilo power clean plus front squat. And this is on Instagram. It's kind of making the rounds on the interwebs now, I guess. Mm-hmm. If you have not seen it, it's worth checking out. It's a high power. There's no doubt.
There's no doubt.
Caught
a power clean. Yeah. This isn't a, you know, Dave, was I a parallel? And you kind of give me that.
it was powerful. If not power, powerful. No, this was a power clean.
Yes. Yeah. And this was looped like Elon Musk's Hyperloop. I mean, this was totally, you know, sort of got away from the body. But man, is this guy a super athlete and super strong?
Tremendously strong. Yeah. Not the technique you might teach to somebody, but I mean, and that's what makes it more impressive in some ways, is how strong It was.
Yes.
Did you have any thoughts, any reactions to this? I mean,
well, I mean, it's always hard to say because you know how it is when you see some guys with really great power lifts. You sort of automatically extrapolate out, oh, well, if he can power clean this, he could squat clean and jerk X, Y, and Z. But that's not usually the case, and especially with a guy like this whose, you know, technique isn't absolutely horrendous, but it's not good, you know. So, you know, you can't really say much more than he power cleaned 193, and that's sort of where you have to leave it. And you can say he's an absolute phenomenal athlete, et cetera, but to project that he could be, you know, some amazing weightlifter, I think would be a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, and also he does not jerk the weight.
That's right, yeah.
And much to my dismay, you do have to jerk the weight.
Yes.
Whether you power clean it or clean it, you have to put the weight overhead. So, yeah, tremendously strong, and it would be great if he were lifting just to see. I mean, I'm just selfish. I just want to see strong people lift.
Of course. Lifting. Big weights are fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And it is very strong, but yeah, I, as somebody who's partial to the Olympic lifts, when I see a lift like this, I think, well, that's impressive, but it, I would much rather, to be honest, I'd actually rather watch lighter weights with better technique very often.
Yeah, it's funny, the older I get, the more I appreciate just smooth lifting regardless of what weight's on the bar, you know, and I don't know if that's, you know, the fact that, like, my knees hurt more, and I imagine heavy weights just
hurts.
Yeah, exactly. But smoother technique just is so attractive. And again, that aesthetic of the lift, which I think is sort of it's sort of looked over, especially as novice and beginning lifters. And it's really an important part, that smooth lifting, that really beautiful movement, coordination, that sort of thing. It's just so important. And you know, when you don't see that, you know, my joints hurt just to watch some of those lifts that are, even though they're heavy, they're just really traumatic on the body.
Yeah, exactly. And the honest truth is, at a certain level, and I mean, 183, again, tremendously strong. I have no idea what he weighs, but he doesn't look, I mean, he's not a super or anything. Like
no,
that,
no.
But, to be doing world-class weights, you need smooth technique. You need good technique. There are athletes who get away with world-class weights and not very smooth or very traumatic technique. But in general, like you had mentioned, I believe, last podcast, Liu Xiaoxun, the way he's going to add more kilos at this point, per his coach, is technical refinement.
That's right.
And that's on somebody who already has textbook technique, essentially.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of training videos that we've seen on the internet, there's over the past week or two, I mean, I've seen a couple really impressive videos. And there was a guy that I hadn't remember seeing before, Valentin Hristov. You know who
Valentin
that is?
Hristov. Oh, my God. You might have forgotten him because he ran into a wee bit of trouble with
pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals, exactly. How these things happen, one never knows.
I don't know.
A girlfriend put something in your cereal.
Right.
So he was on a bit of a – he was sent to the mountains, we'll say.
Uh-huh.
And now he has come down, and the mountains were good to him.
Absolutely. I mean, he is faster than a cheetah. I mean, this 140-kilogram snatch was out of this world in terms of speed.
Did you see the – Hooker posted a comparison of – it's three lifters, and I'm blanking on the third right now. But it's Valentin Hristov, who lifts – he's ethnically Bulgarian, but he lifts for Azerbaijan right now. I believe Valentin Hristov, Luis Mosquera out of Colombia, and I cannot recall the third lifter right now. I believe it's a European, and it's their three snatches timed exactly to see who's fastest. And you know, Luis Mosquera, none of these guys is slow.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hristov, I believe, is the fastest.
The fastest.
His moment from full extension, second pull to under the bar, is simply staggering.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it has to rival that 172.5 by Sajir back in 2004. It has to.
You know, Sajir is one of those lifters where I think, I wish we had high-speed footage of him right now.
I know.
You miss so much with that crappy NBC footage.
I know. One frame per second, basically.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. It's like they're shooting a daguerreotype or something with 10 years Sajir, and it's like a flip book.
You know what the amazing thing, too, is, I mean, this was 2004. He was 19, so it's, what, 11 years later? So he's only 30. I mean,
I know.
Truly, I mean, he could be still training. Who knows?
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
I am, and I don't see very many training photos.
No, I don't think he's training.
No, I don't think so either. I mean,
I don't think he's training. He's posting on Facebook, certainly.
Yes, indeed he is.
I can't read Turkish, but it looks like he's opinionated politically.
Yes.
So good for him.
Yes, he is.
But no, I don't believe he's training, which is sad. I think I read somewhere that he did a meet recently in Turkey, recently meaning within the past few years. And, you know, he did like a, I don't know, 120, 150 or somewhere
yeah,
in that range,
yeah.
Like just for fun. But I think he ended up having hip problems or something that prevented him from lifting, which is a shame.
Yeah, I remember like back troubles was an issue that he had for a while that he was sort of always fighting. But with the extension like he has where literally his upper body reaches parallel, I mean, it's hard to believe that he wouldn't have back problems.
It's hard to believe his body is still in one piece, even using Facebook, given the weights he lifted and the speed he lifted them. I mean, that's what really shocks me about Christoph sometimes is there must be some like injury to the brain from moving that fast under a bar.
I know. It's a highly
like a
involved
shock.
Being. It's just something different than you and I.
very different from you and I.
Yeah, I mean, he is amazing to watch. I mean, and there's been some other lifts, too. Tian Tao,
270 back squat.
For six.
Set of six.
It's comical. It's comical.
It really is. I mean, 270 for a set of six. That is an extraordinary lift. And then his teammate, so China's Su Dajin, doing 260 for a double.
Yes.
Days before, unfortunately,
bombing out
at the 2015 Asian Championships.
You know, what's interesting about Tian Tao, too, is when he catches that clean, he may be the most efficient clean and jerker alive right now, at least cleaner. His jerk, you know, has little, you know, that's where he usually misses the lift. But his clean is so fast and so efficient. Each one of them looks like a power clean. It doesn't look like his thighs reach below parallel as he catches it.
He's tremendously strong. Now, do you like his clean better than my current possible favorite for the clean, Apti Alkudov?
I think I would take Tian Tao's clean over Apti's.
Really?
Yeah, now snatches, that's a whole other story. I'll take Apti's snatch any day of the week.
Fair enough. We'll let Apti know. We'll see if we can have him deliver.
Absolutely. And then, of course, I also, speaking of heavy squats, Artem Akulov did a 230 triple that was easy, would be a understatement for
I
what
did not
this,
see this.
What this
I can't
looked
believe
like.
I missed. Where, was this on his Instagram?
I think so. Either Instagram or Facebook. But I mean, it's just looks like it's maybe a lighter medium day. Just a 230.
The only other Russian I saw recently squatting big weights was Polovnikov. Have you seen this?
Yes.
He's squatting. I think he's squatting the Boston metro area. It's like every red plate he could find taped
together. Yeah, that's right.
It's something insane. I mean, Polovnikov at this point is just like a science experiment.
I mean, 320 he did. I think that was for either a single or a double. And then right before that same day, he did 300 kilos for a triple. That looked like just routine up and down, let's get a little weight on the bar type of squat.
What's extraordinary is this guy at one point was an 85 kilo lifter.
I know. And you can find footage of him on the Europeans. I think Frank Rothwell has that posted.
When he won, right?
Yeah, I don't think he won. I think he got a silver medal. And I can't remember who beat him, but this is back probably at least 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, no, you don't get that big overnight.
No, but seeing him at that point, I mean, when we say he was an 85, he was cut, And
yeah, no, he looked great as an 85. I mean,
abs breaking through his singlet, you know, jawbones that are stabbing his coaches. I mean,
he's breaking through his singlets these days, but in different ways.
In much different ways, yes. So quite a different lifter. And I believe he clean and jerked 210 at that meet, which is a
really
highly competitive weight at an 85-kilo lifter even today at the world level.
You know what I rewatched recently, speaking of 210, is Oleg Petapechnov's 210 record as a 77.
It looks so easy.
If you haven't seen this, check it out. It's on YouTube. It is extra. I mean, he actually, you know, if we're going to talk about clean and jerkers, people who were efficient at the clean, Oleg Petapechnov was extraordinary as an individual who could clean weight. I mean, it was just standing up and then under the bar. No wasted effort, no wasted movement. Met the bar exactly where he had to and did not pull it a millimeter past where he needed that.
No. And of course, phenomenally strong legs. So, I mean, standing up with it was just always just boom, straight up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of my favorite, you know, and again, that is still the world record. I mean, it's been attempted to be broken many times, but has been unsuccessful every time.
Lu Dajun has taken a shot. Su Dajun.
Su Dajun,
a shot.
That's right. The South Korean. What's his name?
Sajai Hook.
Yes, Sajai Hook. That's right.
Yeah, he attempted it. He had a great clean as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think he attempted 212 because I think that's what he needed to win at that meet. And I believe, was that the Olympics that he did that, or was that a world championship? I can't remember.
I think that was at the world. So he won the Olympics in 2008,
right.
And then dislocated his elbow in 2012.
Yeah, hasn't been quite the same since that injury, unfortunately.
No, which is unfortunate. He moved up a class. He's in the 85s now, but you're right. Has not, has not been at that level, which is a shame because he was really somebody who gave the Chinese lifters who were at the top of their game quite a run for their money.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Boffin, what does our agenda look like? Have we accomplished the goals that we set out to do earlier on this evening?
I think we just about have. So we wanted to mention the Grand Prix, the Spartakiad news, the 193 power clean. Mm-hmm. Big lifts we've seen. There are a few things that we would love to talk about but can't because we have no information. So the European under 23 championships are taking place in early October. And we know they're happening. And
that's pretty much it. Yeah. I mean, do you know if Viktor Getz, the Russian 77, is he under 23? Because I believe he was a junior quite, you know, recently.
I think he is. So maybe we'll see it. And Viktor Getz, speaking of 77s, tremendous lifter.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. 160 snatch that he did. Was that the
Europeans?
Europeans, yeah, where Tigran Martirosyan also did the same 160 in the snatch. So I believe they tied in the snatch at the Europeans. But yeah, super, super strong. And I want to say he did like 195 or more in the clean and jerk as a 77.
He did 195. It was turned down by majority decision.
Oh,
I know. And actually, I don't know what it was turned down for. I was watching it recently and I did not see anything. So
must have been American judges.
Probably, yeah. Maybe somebody was asleep in the chair. Yeah, he's somebody who's exciting to watch. So assuming he's under 23, which I think you might be, I think you might be correct about that.
Yeah.
That will be exciting. But yeah, we have no...
no start list, no information.
Not a thing. He was at the Junior World in 2014.
Okay, so he's definitely under 23.
He's under 23.
Excellent. So hopefully he'll be lifting in that meet.
So there was that. There was the Youth Pan Ams, which have started yesterday, but we don't know anything about that.
Yeah, we don't have a schedule because obviously we're all psyched to see what CJ Cummings can do because now he could potentially break a world record. If he hits that same weight that he did at Nationals, that would be a new world record, which, I mean, the United States.
When is the last time a U.S. lifter had a world record? It must have been.
I think it was Artie Drescher pressing back in the 80s.
I think that 80s, Dr. Westbrook.
I'm sorry. What am I?
1880s?
What am I saying?
More than the 80s. Maybe it was the 70s. Now, the women, I'm not good on all the records, but I think maybe the women had a world record.
Did Robin Bird have a world record?
Robin Bird might have had a world record.
Yeah.
Corinne Marshall, right? She, I think, would have had a world record. She was the first woman to officially clean and jerk 300 pounds, I believe.
Right, right. I mean, regardless, it's been decades since we've, at least a decade, since we've seen American hold a world record. So if CJ can break this, it would be such an accomplishment for USA weightlifting.
It'd be exciting. We will keep you posted on that front. So the only thing that I think is left is the announcement that I think our next podcast, we will have Uncle JP Nicoletta coming to talk about qualifying totals for the Worlds.
Excellent.
Assuming we can get the technology working.
Big assumption there.
Big assumption. But we're going to try to do a three-way and have him call in or something. Mm-hmm. And then a brief discussion of was there a movie or a book this week to give our listeners some culture, let's say, outside the world of weightlifting. Is there anything you have this week or a recent memory?
Well, you know, this sort of relates to, you know, weightlifting / strength training. I watched a movie called Maggie. Have you seen this movie?
I have not.
This is a movie, I believe the latest movie starring the one and only Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get out.
Where he plays the father of a daughter who's been recently infected with a virus that's slowly turning her into a zombie. So very interesting. But, you know, the more important thing is it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's actually a really well-shot movie. Subject matter is interesting, especially with the sort of zombie obsession that this country sort of has.
You really like zombies.
Yeah. I mean, zombies are fun. I mean, imagine shooting zombies and taking all your frustration, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But it's Arnold, and, you know, Arnold's got this sort of, you know, homegrown, I'm a farmer, protecting my daughter. And really, it's sort of interesting because he's usually playing the hero in most of his roles. However, in this, he sort of failed to protect his daughter from this zombie apocalypse. So it's interesting to see him in a different light. And really, I would say, you know, for Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is some of the best acting I've seen. And
it's not a high bar.
It is not a high bar, but it's something. And really, outside of that, the movie shot quite beautifully. I can't remember who directed it. It's like Henry Hobson or something like that. But did quite a good job shooting the movie. And some of the colors and the scenes are just really, really beautiful. So it's not a great movie, but it's Arnold.
Okay.
It's Arnold before he gets onto The Apprentice. So
oh God, I just saw that.
He's doing it all. I mean, he'd be running for president if he could. So,
you know, it's a shame that he can't throw his hat into what is already like a six-ring circus.
I know. He was there. I was just watching the debates, and of course, he's there shaking hands with many of the candidates. So,
you know,
he wishes he was on that stage with Donald Trump and the rest.
We both saw Arnold in a not great movie this summer, Terminator Genesis. So it's good to see that he's getting roles that aren't.
Yeah, this was substantially better in every way than
again, not
Terminator.
A high bar.
Yeah,
but
not
good
a high
to
bar.
Hear that.
And how about you, Dr. Baffa? Any cultural sort of movie book that you've read that's impacted you at all?
You know what I rewatched this week?
What's that?
Rambo.
Oh.
The original Rambo. First Blood. So it was on Netflix. I was flipping through and I had a little free time and I just came across Rambo, First Blood. And it had been a few years. And I thought, I'll just check this out. And have you seen Rambo, the original First Blood, recently or at all?
Well, I've seen it probably twice in its entirety and probably about 25 times as clips on the Sunday movie watching.
Of course.
But yes, probably I've seen it within the last 5 years.
I think people forget that the original Rambo was a really good movie about PTSD and soldiers returning home from the Vietnam War and unable to cope with daily life.
Right. Very applicable to you know, today's issues.
Incredibly applicable. And there's a scene. I mean, a lot of the movie is an adventure movie. And it's interesting because You know, I mean, people lament, I think, what has happened to some cinema right now. But a lot of the movie is just a straightforward action movie. Rambo in the woods in, I think it takes place in Oregon or Washington. It's in the North Pacific Northwest. In the woods, trying to evade capture by this police force. And so that's the action and adventure, and you get all that. But then he's got, Sylvester Stallone has this monologue at the end where he breaks down completely discussing his experience coming home, his experience in the war and his experience coming home. And I mean, we joke about Stallone as an actor, but really it is some of the finest acting it's probably the best acting out of Stallone. And it's actually a very good scene to see Stallone. He's not talking to anybody. I mean, his old sergeant is in the room with him. But really, it's just Stallone speaking for perhaps 5 minutes or so to nobody. And it is among the most powerful scenes in a war movie or a movie about soldiers coming home, you know, failed heroes coming home from war that I've seen. So if you have Netflix or Pirate Bay or something, I would really recommend checking out the original Rambo. I think the subsequent Rambos really, you know, like many sequels, kind of blew apart the series. Yeah, and turned it into a cartoon or a caricature. I mean, did you see the most recent Rambo, the one that came out a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember, but I think like the death count was somewhere in the hundreds or maybe even thousands.
Yeah, so interestingly, the first Rambo, there's only one death.
Wow, I didn't know
and
that.
By Rambo 4 or whatever it is, it's like the entire country of Burma is the death. I mean, literally the last 15 minutes is Rambo on the back of a Jeep with a machine gun just shooting people.
Well, they basically get to the point where they just try to figure out what's a different way that we can kill somebody or have somebody lose a piece of their body or have some other piece of their body explode in a different way than happened nanoseconds
before. I think the
director's
left and the special effects body guys were just left to finish the film.
That's
what the last 15 minutes looks like. Very, very different. And maybe it has its own merits. I only saw it once. But yeah, I would – first Rambo. Check it out if you haven't done it. It's quite a movie.
I will.
No relation
to
Wayne, but that's okay.
Well, Dr. Baffa, our listeners have wasted an entire hour. Yeah, we are over an hour mark. So these continue to get longer, even though every time before we start, we say we should try to make these shorter, and it never...
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, Dr. Westbrook.
That's right. It never quite happens as we anticipate, but...
Some that will, you know, like we said, we tried... We failed.
That's right.
And, you know, I like so much of our lifting.
Yes.
I think that's what you could say.
Indeed.
We showed up, tried, didn't quite go as we thought.
Now, if there's any listeners out there who have made it to this 62nd minute of this, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for commenting. Please continue to ask questions. We're happy to discuss anything to do with weightlifting, Rambo movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe next week we'll get some books in there too.
Since yeah.
There's a whole world of culture out there.
Indeed there is.
But yes, thank you. Follow along Twitter, Baffa Westbrook, @ The Two Doctors. We have a Facebook page, The Two Doctors. We have a website right now.
We have a website.
TheTwoDoctors.net. Two as in the number two. .net in honor of the great Sandra Bullock film, The Net, back when people still called it The Net. And we'll probably have like a MySpace page and a Tinder profile soon. So
absolutely.
We are in every – and we're on iTunes, most importantly, yep. Which is the big development. But yes, thank you for listening, and be sure to check us out next time when, technology willing, we will have – Uncle JP Nicoletta telling us about qualification procedures and who knows what else.
Absolutely. And again, with the iTunes, you can directly download that onto your device. So you don't have to be connected to the internet the entire time with some of these other means of listening to us. So that's a great way for a long, long car ride that you have coming up to be slightly, maybe not so much entertained as annoyed.
Hopefully you're stuck in traffic somewhere.
Yes.
And exactly. You need this. Dr. Westbrook, it has been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Baffa.
And to those of you listening, thank you, and we will catch you next time.